Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm filling in for Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is taking care of a family emergency. He asked me if I would sit in for him today, and it is my honor and privilege to do so. Dr. Youngblood has a fantastic show where he does face the issues of the day, and he faces those issues with truth and with conviction. I would invite you to call in with your thoughts, your comments, your questions. That call-in number is 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. Just before the break, I was reading an article by an author by the name of Kelly Nelson. And Kelly Nelson was in the article talking about how we have known doctors, very well-known doctors, who are saying the opposite of what we're hearing from the media and from journalists today. And that is the danger of taking this experimental vaccine. There's a doctor, in her article, she writes of a Dr. Joseph Mercola. Dr. Joseph Mercola, who was an inventor of the messenger RNA, tells us that the Pfizer inoculation in the waning phase is causing the virus to replicate more efficiently than it would otherwise. In other words, this experimental vaccine is causing these variants. We've heard of the Delta variant now, the Epsilon variant. It is coming from the vaccine, according to these doctors, very well-known doctors. Dr. Joseph Mercola, I'm now reading from an article again, who has had a website with alternative therapies, proper nutrition, and supplements for 25 years, has been threatened to the point where he is removing all his documented work that has not only helped people but saved their lives. This is a Stalinist tactic. Destroy the dissenters. Destroy the truth. We have Bill, who has called in on the line. Bill, go ahead with your comment, your thought or question, please.
Yes, I have a friend at work who got the so-called vaccination over the weekend, and it literally made a magnet stick to his arm. And I've heard this before, but I hadn't seen it. But he videoed it on the phone, and I was wanting to know, why is that?
Bill, that's amazing. I have heard of that, too. I have never seen it, but from what I understand, it's because part of what is in this vaccine are particles that are designed to attach themselves to cells in your body. Uh-huh. When they attach themselves to those cells, they then enter those cells and change them molecularly. And I've heard that part of that process, and it sounds like your friend experienced that, part of that process creates magnetism within your body. I haven't heard it with all, but there have been enough who have reported it. And if he has shown that a magnet has stuck to, will stick to his body, That is so dangerous, and that is enough for me to say do not take this experimental vaccine. Bill, do you know why your friend took the vaccine?
But go ahead, do what now?
Do you know why your friend took the vaccine?
He took the vaccine because his daughter kept pushing him to get it. But he said this morning that time he got it, he immediately regretted it. And he went home and he videoed it on the phone. And you can see where they put that vaccine at. The magnet stuck to his arm. But if he would move it just like an inch or 2 inches in either direction, it would fall off. Only right where they stuck him with that shot would it stick. Anywhere else, it would fall off. But he videoed it on the phone. I seen it. And I'd heard about it up until then, but I've seen it with my own eyes now, for sure.
Well, that's a shame. That's one of the side effects of the vaccines. We've seen other side effects where people have become violently ill. I've seen videos of people who have died after taking the vaccine. So let's hope there will be no further side effects of your friend, Bill. And if you hadn't taken the vaccine, that alone would be enough for me to not want to take it. Bill, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Others to call in are welcome to do so. The number is 904-831-0917. Going back to this article written by Kaylee Nelson, she talks about a Dr. Peter McCullough. And now I'll start reading from the article again. Dr. Peter McCullough, the top published physician in the entire world with a massive curriculum vitae, is being sued by a Texas health system for $1 million because of an error in his published CV by one of the hosts who interviewed him regarding the dangers of the mRNA jabs. She goes on to state this in the article. Don't forget, the mRNA is going to appear in your next flu vaccine as well. Please avoid that, meaning the flu vaccine, at all cost. I served 10 years active duty military after graduating from the Air Force Academy, and each year in the fall, we had to take the flu vaccine. It was mandatory for us. We had to take it. So I took it every year. Some years I would get sick. Other years, most years I didn't. I would admit that. Of the 10 years I took the shot, maybe 2 years I got sick. The other times I did not. But once I left the military, I have not taken a flu shot since then. And that has been 31 years ago. I will not take the flu vaccine. No one in my family has had the flu vaccine since I left the military, including my children. My oldest is now 29, and my youngest is 26. None of them had the flu vaccine. Now, let's go back to the article. She writes, true science is an ever-changing discipline that evolves from open exploration and debate as the public availability of new data emerges. When have we seen this level of censorship of knowledge and experience? Never. But the government has experimented on American citizens and veterans for decades upon decades. And don't get me started with the Tuskegee experiment, where they allowed Black Americans in the Tuskegee, Alabama area to be infected with syphilis and then would not treat them because they wanted to see what the entire effects was, including over time the causing people to go blind, causing people to actually die. Now, we have another caller on the line, Pastor Davis. Please go ahead with your comment, question, or thought.
Good morning, Congressman Hill. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, sir. How are you today?
Oh, very good, very good. We thank and praise God for what you are doing. You're certainly doing a fine job this morning in the absence of Dr. Youngblood. We are certainly sending up prayers for his son and family as well. And we are praying on behalf of the church, mainly. We are interceding, fasting and praying, laboring in prayer before the throne of God, asking God for a miracle. So we are hoping and praying that God will deliver, and we know that he is a prayer-answering God. So we are trusting and depending that he will do just what he said. But in addition to what you have been saying on the program this morning, I thank God for the discussion. But my concern right now is the unprecedented amount of fear that we are seeing in the body of Christ. And I understand, you know, that a lot of people are afraid of the virus. We're not saying that it's not real. I know some people that have contracted it, and they are, you know, having a hard time with it. But we also want the people to know, especially those that are in the body of Christ, that we don't have a reason to fear, because the scripture said that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But we need to stand on the word of God. What I have been doing from the very outset of this virus, I've been reading Psalm 91 with my family, praying, also integrating that into my prayers before the throne of God ever since this first started. And I can say I certainly thank and praise God. He has blessed us. He's protected us. Some of my family members have come down with a few ailments, but nothing, you know, in relation to how this disease actually does people. Some had sniffles and coughs and different things like that, but nothing to where they had to be hospitalized. And I thank and praise God for that. He never told us, Congressman Hill, that certain things would not happen to us. We have to come to realize that God allows certain things to happen in order to bring us through, because he wants the world to know that he's got all power in his hands. So what we need to do on today as the people of God is stand on the word of God. The majority of the people that I spoke with concerning this vaccine in the area where I live are saying that they don't trust the government or anyone else when it comes down to reasons for why they should take it, because a lot of them have told me that they feel like they were deceived in the elections. And there's so much false information going around out there until they don't know who to trust, and they certainly don't want to trust them. If they didn't do right with the elections, then what else will they not do right with? So I just wanted to say that on today. That's the reason why, you know, there's so many people that are not taking the vaccine, because they don't trust the information and the people, the sources, where it's coming from out there on today. So that's what we really need to do as the people of God, trust in the word of God.
Them, amen. Pastor Davis,
thank you, sir.
Because we've seen their actions in the past. Thank you so much for calling in, Pastor Davis. Really appreciate that. We also have Dan on the line. Dan, go ahead with your thought or comment, please.
Good morning, Congressman. Pastor Davis, initiates statements on prayer for the pastor, Youngblood, and his family. I want to reiterate that. That is the number one thing and the greatest power that we could ever do for the family. And secondly, if they would inject a substance in the human body that was designed to give them control down the road, what is going to be in the booster shot that will come and unite with the initial injection substance, then the next booster shot, and the next, and the next, and the next? What will they be building inside our body that once it is totally formed will go to an area maybe of the brain that will give them control? It is said that in China, their military does not feel pain, that there is something in their brain that refuses to recognize pain and allows them to fight on until a vital organ is destroyed. Now, I don't doubt that at all, because China's had how many years of absolute control? And I know, look at what Gates did in Africa and Fauci. We know their history. But we're not allowed to find out the rest of the story. The fall of America has a beginning, we're in the middle, and it has an end. Therein is total destruction of America, total takeover of the American citizens, and the elimination of any citizen that will not be controlled.
Dan, now, thank you so much for those comments. You are absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. Thank goodness enough of us patriots who refuse to be vaccinated, who refuse to be controlled by this tyrannical government, by these radicals on the left, who, by the way, Joe Biden seems to be listening to more and more. It's not the Democrat Party of the 1950s and the 1960s. This Democrat Party today is of a radical nature who are listening to those on the left. Now, we know that in the Biden administration are many of the same people who were in the Obama administration. There's Susan Rice, there's Valerie Jarrett, there's many others who are part of the Obama administration are now part of the Biden administration. And the thing is, they are taking orders from the same people that Obama and his administration were taking orders from. And I read an article recently from the New American, my friends of the John Birch Society, that says that is their orders are coming from the Council for Foreign Relations, that is who they are receiving their orders from. And Hillary Clinton admitted that at one time when she expressed her delight that they had moved their offices just up the street from the White House in Washington, D.C. The Council for Foreign Relations is made up of a bunch of globalists who do not want America to be the sole superpower. They want to be the superpower and spread it amongst the world so that they can control what goes on and how it is done. Now, previously, when I talked about the article that Kaylee Nelson was writing, she spoke about how in New York that Mayor de Blasio is not allowing people to go to restaurants, to go to stores, to go into businesses, to go to gyms and so forth, to go to plays, movies, even entertainment, unless they have proof of the COVID vaccine. And they are not doing it by the honor system, where you can say, oh, yes, I've had the vaccine. They want proof of it. And then on a recent Laura Ingraham show, she comes on Fox News Channel, she noted that Black New Yorkers, only 31% of whom are fully vaccinated, are likely to be affected most and disproportionately by this barrier to entry. And while this presents a clear and present danger to the Black opportunity and access, she noted that there is deafening silence, get this, and I agree, about this disparate impact among, this silence is among Black Lives Matter organizers and other racial activists, including Al Sharpton. They are not saying a word about this. That 69% of Black Americans in New York will not be able to buy food, go into a restaurant, go into a grocery store, go to a gym, unless they have proof of this. What's going to happen if they decide they don't want to, which I wouldn't if I were them? This is an experiment, and there is no way you would put that experiment in my body, and they are justified in not wanting to do it. Here in America, we have individual rights. We have rights as individuals to determine what we want to do with our body, not what someone else wants to do with our body. Now, I am a staunch pro-life constitutional conservative. And the nonsense that those who wanted to murder babies in a womb, my body, my choice, does not hold water, because there is a body inside your body. That body has a choice. Your choice was whether or not you were going to get pregnant. Once you got pregnant, you have no right, no moral, scientific or godly right to kill that baby inside your womb. That is completely different from me saying you have no right, government, at the point of facing a gunpoint to make me take a jab in my arm, that you will forcibly hold me down and put a jab in my arm. You have no right to do that. In America, we champion the rights of the individual. We are free here, and that is what has made this nation so great. I came across another article not too long ago by a John Tammy, who is writing for the American Institute of Economic Research, and he makes a very good point, pretty much going along with what Laura Ingraham was saying. The title of his document was, his article, is Lockdown History Will Accentuate Political Disdain for the Poor. In an August 8th article, he writes, when political panic over coronavirus resulted in hideous, wholly superfluous lockdowns back in March of 2020, not everyone suffered. As is well known, rich coronavirus people afforded the well-to-do a chance to relax a little, spend more time with kids who were similarly sidelined, read and cook, and basically do all manner of things that weren't possible in the days before the panic and when work was conducted in offices. Up front, the big tech companies, I'm going along with the reading along with the article, that the confused on both sides want to break up actually deserve our immensely high regard. Technological advances that they brought to market made it possible for us to continue working at a time when arrogant, it's all about us politicians, were trying to make it impossible for us to work. You see, a scared of its own shadow political class decided that the very people who engineered all human advance were suddenly a lethal menace to one another. Yes, politicians went to work on separating humans despite collaborative work history of fixing so much wrong in the world, including wrong of the health variety. So what he is saying is that these lockdowns hurt the poor disproportionately, that those who are well-to-do were able to stay at home and go to work. They were able to work long distance, and he is saying thanks to the big tech companies that were able to do that. So there are good and bad things which come with big tech. Their censorship is so wrong, and that needs to be stopped. And the way of stopping that is taking away the Section 230 protections that they have, which says that they cannot be sued because of content on their website, which is fine. Nobody wants to sue them for that. What people want to sue them for is removing their content off the website because they don't agree with it. That is a draconian measure of preventing free speech. Here in Florida, Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature made it possible for Floridians to sue big tech. They passed it in the law to sue big tech should they be censored or politically attacked because of their opinions. We are seeing that that's being challenged in court. Hopefully, true justice will prevail and that the courts will see that, number one, they have no right to legislate from the bench. If a law is passed, the courts have to prove that it's unconstitutional, not that they don't agree with it. Okay, let's get back to this article that was written. The rich and left wing could do their jobs from the Hamptons, and so they moved there, and so did their art and other sources of entertainment. Those who personify limousine liberal got out of town because they could. They supported lockdowns because they could. But does anyone think their reaction would have been at all similar had their own livelihoods and source of dignity been threatened? What a great point the author makes there, the author of this article. That do you think they would be calling for these lockdowns right now if it had affected them, the rich and powerful? No, they would not be. So here we are, we have these politicians in these blue states, always on the left-leaning states, who want to take this draconian measures of forcing you to stay in your home, forcing you to lose your job, forcing you to close your businesses, wreaking havoc on our economy. It hurts you, but it doesn't hurt them. These hypocrites, I am so tired of them. And I would tell you, Americans, patriots, stand up to them. Do not submit. Do not comply. Enough of us who stand up and do this, we will get rid of this nonsense that we are seeing coming from the left right now, who are trying their best because they have a small window of opportunity where they are controlling the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, that they have control of all three, and they are trying to wreak havoc on our society right now, because as soon as they get thrown out of office next year in 2022, we're going to put a stop to it. So they are trying their best now to do it. So I want to encourage you right now, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It's been an honor and privilege for me for sitting in with Dr. Youngblood today. I'm praying for his family, for his son, and let's pray for a miracle that his son will be taken care of and will leave that office, leave that hospital, giving all glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.